Independence Day, when the aliens show up and park that big old spaceship on top of Los Angeles, California, a bunch of people climbed the U.S. bank tower thinking that that alien invasion was the greatest thing since a P. Diddy freak-off, and they started partying like it was 1999. Until that happened. Obviously, they didn't realize that that was the end. And because of that, they had no idea what was going to happen. And because of that, they weren't doing what they were supposed to be doing. They weren't living like they were supposed to be living in order to be ready for what was going to happen. And because of that, those people were destroyed and lost forever. Well, sadly enough, most people today don't realize it's the end too. For real, because we are living in the end times and the last days. And because of that, people don't realize what's going to happen today. Amen. And because of that, they're not doing what they're supposed to be doing. They're not living like they're supposed to be living, so they can be ready for what's going to happen today too. And because of that, in these last days, they're going to die and go to hell and be lost forever. Well, we're going to start changing that. We're going to start a series here this morning at Fox River, a series called Living in the Last Days, looking at all kinds of things that we need to do because of the fact that we are living in the last days. And we're going to start this series this morning. We're never going to do anything for the last days until we realize we really are in the last days to start with. And to see that, we turn today to 1 John chapter 2 and verse 18. If you have your Bibles, turn with me, please. 1 John chapter 2 and verse 18. John writes, "Dear children, this is the last hour. And as you have heard that the Antichrist is coming, even now many Antichrists have come. This is how we know it is the last hour." And let's pray. Lord, I just thank you for your word, and I thank you that it's true. And I pray you just show us this morning, Lord, how desperately we need to understand how short time really is, that we really are living in the last days. Pray you'd come to us now by the power of your Holy Spirit, or pray you'd open your word and teach us from it exactly what it is you want us to know. We ask all this in your name. Amen. In this part of 1 John chapter 2, John is telling us all kinds of things that we need to do to stay faithful to Jesus Christ. And in our text today, John tells us why. It's because we really are living in the last days and time is short. And the Holy Spirit is telling us today, we are never going to do diddly squat for the Lord in these last days if we don't wake up and realize what time it really is before it's too late. Our text this morning, 1 John chapter 2, verse 18, tells us three reasons why we know we really are living in the last days of God's eternal plan for the ages. And let's look and see what those three reasons are. The first thing we see from this text, the first reason why we know we're living in the last days, is because the Bible says so. And that's exactly what we see here in verse 18. This is the last hour. These are the last days. So people, wake up, because your salvation is nearer now than when you first believed. So wake up, and you'll never know that you're asleep until you wake up. So wake up. Notice, those aren't the last days when NASA says the sun's going to explode and fry the entire universe like a blackened salmon about 6 billion years from now. These are the last days right here and now. So this isn't Miller time. It's not the golden age or the zombie apocalypse or the dawn of the age of Aquarius. These aren't the dog days of summer. These are the last days of the world. Wake up, people. We're living in the last days. And that's exactly what the Bible tells us. The Bible says the last day started when Jesus ascended into heaven and started the church age. So the last days is that time between the first coming of Jesus Christ and the second coming of Jesus Christ. And the last days aren't just something that God tacked on to the end of the Bible in the book of Revelation, because the Bible talks about the last days from the get-go. Even before the children of Israel entered the promised land. Deuteronomy chapter 4, verses 27 to 31. Moses prophesied that one day the Jewish people would be scattered all over the world. And that in the last days, God would bring all the Jewish people back to the land of Israel, and the nation of Israel would become a nation again. Exactly what happened May 14th, 1948. Huge, huge event in the last days. Genesis chapter 49. As Jacob is dying and blessing his sons, he prophesies in Genesis chapter 49 verse 10 that in the last days, one of the sons of Judah, the line of the tribe of Judah, would come back at the end of time as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Talk about the last days. Clear back in the first book of the Bible. Amen. One out of every three verses in your Bible is a prophecy about the last days. Jesus prophesied about the last days. Matthew chapter 24, Mark chapter 13, Luke chapter 21. The disciples knew about it. Paul himself thought he was living in the last days. We didn't just make this stuff up, people, at a VBS meeting. We're living in the last days right now. See the chart that shows all the events of the end times? We are right there, right at the end of the church age, right at the start of the next dispensation, the Great Tribulation. And notice, John doesn't say here, we're living in the last days. He says, we're living in the last hour of the last days. And he says that twice in this verse. That's how short time really is. So if I was you, I wouldn't even be buying any green bananas. There's people sitting in this church right now listening to this sermon. You have no idea. You have no idea how short time really is. You do not have the time that you think you have. Amen. And people, you got to realize, I don't sing or dance. This is it. I didn't come here this morning to entertain you. I'm not performing. I am declaring. Wake up, because these really are the last days. Time is short. This I know, for the Bible tells me so.
Amen.
Sadly enough, though, most people today think the last days is a joke. See the cartoon? Guy holding up the sign says the end is near. Another guy says, uh-oh, I think we're about to get mooned. That's not the kind of end we're talking about. Joy Behar said this on The View. I wish Donald Trump and all the religious nuts who voted for him would get their wish and get raptured out of here so we wouldn't have to put up with them anymore. She takes it seriously, doesn't she? Meghan Markle has a product line out now called As Ever. Like as if everything is just going to last forever. Doesn't anybody believe in the last days anymore? Because the Church of Jesus Christ doesn't. Only 2% of pastors ever preach about the end times. Even though we're in the end times right now.
Amen.
I have pastors tell me, Kevin, it just scares people. It's too Harold Camping. It's not seeker sensitive enough. I had a pastor get in his car one Sunday morning and drive all the way here to church to Fox River to tell me face to face, Kevin, you can't talk about the last days because it's too controversial. Are you kidding me? So when the Lord comes again and time stands still and Jesus parts the clouds with blazing fire and eternal glory and gazillions of His holy angels and with eyes like blazing fire burns into your soul, what are you going to do? You're going to walk up to Him and tell Him, Jesus, you got to get out of here because this is way too controversial. People were living in the last days. The world is ending. Jesus is coming. People are dying. Souls are going to hell. And the church is asleep at the wheel. Wake up. Wake up. Because the rapture could happen any second. And this is the number one thing by far that I get the most hate mail about than anything else. Talking about the pre-tribulation rapture of the church. When any second now, Jesus is going to come partway down out of the clouds. Take us Christians and send us straight to glory. And there's a difference between the rapture and the second coming of Christ. The rapture, Jesus only comes halfway down to earth. The second coming of Christ, Jesus comes all the way down to earth.
Amen.
The rapture, Jesus comes for the church. The second coming, Jesus comes for the Jews at the Battle of Armageddon. The second coming happens 7 years after the rapture. The rapture could happen any time now. Well, Kevin, the word rapture isn't even in the Bible. The word Bible isn't in the Bible either. But rapture, snatching, seizing away, catching up, it's all exactly the same thing. Well, Kevin, my pastor says there's no such thing as the rapture. It's because your pastor is wrong. Folks, if you want to stay down here and go through the hell on earth of the great tribulation and play chicken with the Antichrist, be my guest. I'm going home on the morning train. All kinds of people were raptured in the Bible. Enoch, Elijah, Jesus was taken up to heaven on a cloudy elevator. Philip was transported from one place to another. Paul was taken up into the third heaven. John was caught up into heaven in the spirit in Revelation chapter 4, verse 1. The two witnesses are going to be raptured to heaven after they're raised from the dead in the last days. So this isn't like something that God's never done before. And Christians always say, well, Kevin, what makes you rapture Christians think that you're so special, that you're going to get out of all the suffering that's going on in the world? There's Christians suffering in the world right now. In Nigeria, DR Congo, you name it. But folks, the issue is not suffering. The issue is the wrath of God.
Amen.
Because in the great tribulation, the pure wrath of God is going to be poured out on an unbelieving world. And 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 9 says, God has not appointed us Christians to go through that kind of wrath. That's why He's going to get us out of here.
Amen.
Everybody stand up where you're at. Shake it out a little bit. Stand up on your tiptoes like this. Raise your arms up in the air. Okay, now everybody sit down. You know what we just did? Rapture practice. Got to be ready. And after the rapture, we're going to go into the great tribulation. Not me, but you will. If you're not trusting in Jesus Christ as your Savior. Because I'm going to be at the awards banquet in heaven, polishing my crown and marching around the throne.
Yes.
And I know there's somebody here in this sermon right now saying, well, Kevin, I want to be in the rapture too, but I'm afraid of flying. You know what? I'm afraid to fly too. But I also trust in Jesus Christ.
Amen.
First time I ever flew in my entire life. I was coming home for Christmas from my internship at that church in Fort Dodge, Iowa. So I went to the dinky little airport in Fort Dodge, two runways. I think the guy that ran the place was Mr. Haney on Green Acres. And the plane was a little 18-passenger puddle jumper, and the pilot looked like he was about 12 years old. And they told me the smaller the plane, the more you feel the turbulence. And brother, they weren't kidding, because I was white-knuckling it all the way to Minneapolis. He got 10 minutes into that flight. The pilot comes over the intercom and he says, in case anybody's interested, off to your right is Clear Lake, Iowa, where Buddy Holly died. Yeah, Buddy Holly was killed in a plane crash. What in the world are you telling us that for? Got to the airport in Minneapolis, changed planes to a 747 to Chicago, where Sue and her brothers are going to pick me up. And I had read before that a 747 without fuel or passengers weighs 433,000 pounds. And I just knew there was no way in the world that anything that heavy could ever get off the ground and stay up in the air. But it did. Had a good Christmas, and after that we flew back from Chicago to Minneapolis. By that time I got back on that 18-passenger death trap to Fort Dodge, it was already 5 o'clock in the afternoon and getting dark. And not only that, it was also storming and it was also so foggy you couldn't see 3 feet in front of you. And I thought, there is no way that plane is ever going to make it back to Fort Dodge. And there was a guy sitting next to me who was already freaking out because he'd never flown before in his entire life, and he was scared to death of the storm and the fog. So I just started praying, the eternal God is our refuge and underneath are His everlasting arms. And every time we hit some turbulence, that guy next to me would say, we're going to crash, we're not going to make it. And the fog was so thick and the storm was so bad we couldn't even see any lights out the window. And the turbulence just kept getting worse and worse. And the guy next to me kept having a cow. And I just kept praying, the eternal God is my refuge and underneath are His everlasting arms. The eternal God is our refuge and underneath are His everlasting arms. And about that time the pilot came over the intercom. And I thought he said, brace yourself for impact, we're going to crash. But what he really said was, Fort Dodge Airport in 10 minutes. So that made me feel a little bit better. But by that time, the guy next to me was having a baby. Because the storm was just getting worse and worse. And the turbulence was getting worse and worse. And the pilot came over the intercom again and he said, because of freezing rain and bad weather, we're going to have to circle the Fort Dodge Airport for a while. Freezing rain could build up on the wings of that plane and cause it to crash. We could die. And the turbulence kept getting worse and worse, and the storm kept getting worse and worse. And the guy next to me was absolutely freaking out. So we're going around the Fort Dodge Airport, circling time and time again, and he starts yelling, "We're in a death spiral, we're in a death spiral. This plane is going to crash." So I bowed my head and closed my eyes, and I kept praying, "The eternal God is our refuge, and underneath are His everlasting arms. The eternal God is our refuge, and underneath are His everlasting arms." And finally he looked at me and said, "What in the world are you doing?" And I said, "I'm praying." And he said, "Well, who in the world are you?" I said, "I'm a pastor." You know what he said? "Well, I'll be damned. Let's hope not." So I started talking to him about the Lord, and I told him that there was a God in heaven and that God is good. And if you pray and cry out to God when you're in times of trouble, God would help you. And the man let me pray for him, and it seemed to calm him down a little bit. And before we knew it, we had landed at Fort Dodge. We were on terra firma. All was well. And of course, there wasn't anything wrong with that plane. Devil just wanted us to think there was. Christians, listen to me. In these last days, at the end of the church age, we're going to see all kinds of bad things rocking and rolling all around us. But the good news is, any second now, we're going to be on that flight 777 Rapture Express, Titus 213 Airlines, with all the other Christians who have ever lived or died. And God's not going to have any problem getting that plane up in the air or keeping it up in the air, because there won't be any storms, there won't be any fog, there won't be any turbulence, there won't be any barf bags. Nothing is going to crash or burn, because just like that, instantly, in a flash, in the twinkling of an eye, we are going nonstop direct to the holy city of Jerusalem. And that flight won't cost you a thing, because Jesus Christ already paved the way for the ride of your life. And every single one of us is going first class. And you don't have to worry that you missed that flight, because it's still boarding right now. And the only question is, the most important question in all these last days, do you have your ticket? Do you have that ticket? Personal faith in the shed blood of Jesus Christ on the cross for the salvation of your soul. Amen. Just exactly like the Bible says. First reason why we know we're living in the last days is because that's what the Bible says. We go on in this text, we see a second thing. A second reason why we know we're living in the last days. Not only because that's what the Bible says, but also because that's what all the signs say. And that's also what we see here in verse 18. Now, I have Christians and pastors get so mad at me, have an absolute cow. "Kevin, there are no signs. There are no signs for the last days." Because Jesus said, Mark chapter 16, verses 1 to 3, "A perverse, wicked and perverse generation looks for a sign, but no sign will be given except the sign of the prophet John." Hogwash. Jesus gave all kinds of signs to people. The problem was, those people never followed those signs to real faith in Jesus Christ as Son of God and Savior of the world like they were supposed to. So there in Matthew chapter 16, toward the end of his ministry, Jesus said, "That's it. I've given you more signs than the Dan Ryan Expressway. I'm done." So the only other sign you're going to get is the sign of the prophet Jonah, my own resurrection. Matthew chapter 24, Mark chapter 13, Luke chapter 21, Jesus gives us all kinds of signs for the last days. Bible gives us all kinds of signs of the last days. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 1 through 5. "In the last days, there will be troubles and tribulation." Check. "In the last days, people will be lovers of themselves." Check. "We are the generation, people, that invented the selfie because we're in love with the look of our own face." "In the last days, people will be lovers of money, boastful, proud, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, without love, unforgiving, slanderous, without self-control." Sound like where we're at today in our world? No self-control. Right now, the concession stands at Globe Life Field, Arlington, Texas, for the Texas Rangers, are selling something called the Broomstick Burrito, a 4-pound, 26-inch long burrito. And so many people are getting sick trying to eat it, it now comes with a yardstick to remind you, you should probably eat only about 6 inches of it at a time. Right now, the Akron Rubber Ducks minor league baseball team is selling a regulation-sized baseball helmet with 21 scoops of ice cream in it. a pound of crumbled brownies, a pound of hot fudge, six whole bananas, over 5 pounds of cardiac arrest. And it's called the screamer. And why? Because that's the sound you make when they're pumping your stomach at the hospital after you try to eat it all. No self-control. Sign of the last days. Jesus said, Matthew chapter 24, verse 5, one of the signs of the last days, proliferation of false teachers. There's Word of Faith heretic Jesse Duplantis.
I said, well, Lord, since you asked, maybe I'm doing it. He said, no, we can talk frankly. What do you think? I said, well, I don't think you ought to do that.
Talk
he said, why
God.
You don't think I ought to do that? I said, well, you know, I know you know people more than I do, but you know, Lord, if you just let me do a little bit more work on this individual, I think we can get them to you. He says, okay, go ahead. Do what you have to do. And I tell you what, the Bible says he who wins souls is wise.
So God needed Jesse Duplantis' opinion about something? I don't think so. Because Isaiah chapter 40 verse 13 says, whosoever tries to counsel God is a fool. There's a fake pastor telling her congregation about an abortion that she had.
I personally have never felt more known and heard and loved by God than when I entered the doors of a Planned Parenthood in Bleecker Street in New York City. That morning, I made the decision to receive an abortion, and I was not alone. I was in the process of being known. But there is a moment at a health clinic when there is only one person who can pass through the threshold of the medical doors. So there I was, leaving my network of care behind and stepping forward with only the God who knew all of the parts by me, by my side. There was never a moment where I felt God's presence leave my side.
So that woman murdered her own baby and said that God was happy as a peach pie about it. Absolutely not. Because God does not approve of anything that he clearly condemns in his word. No Holy Spirit, no conviction of sin, no shame, no guilt. People, that woman is not a pastor. That woman's not even a Christian. She's a wolf. That's Antichrist. Amen. 16 million women in this country under the age of 45 will have an abortion sometime in their lifetime. And can they be forgiven of that? Absolutely they can. But not when witches like that stand up in pulpits and call good evil and evil good. She's sending those people to hell. You don't preach sin, you're not preaching the gospel. You don't preach sin, you're not preaching salvation. You don't preach sin, people can't get saved because people will not know what it is that they need to get saved from. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1, in the last days people will abandon the faith and follow all kinds of deceiving spirits and the doctrine of demons. That's exactly what you're seeing right there. Last Tuesday, HHS Director RFK Jr. fired all 17 members of the CDC Vaccine Advisory Committee. And of course, former CDC Director Robert Besser reamed him a new one. This MAGA and MAHA insanity, he said, has gone too far, firing dedicated professionals who were totally committed to protecting the American people and replacing them with incompetent, know-nothing right-wingers who are going to put millions of Americans in serious danger. People, just remember, those 17 people were the exact same COVIDian trolls who told parents to give their six-month-old babies mRNA clot shots. People who knew ahead of time that the mRNA clot shots would take down all kinds of people with heart attacks and myocarditis and strokes, and they still allowed them anyway. They approved them anyway, so Big Pharma could get $400 billion in dirty, filthy, stinking blood money. My God, you talk about evil. Second Timothy chapter 3, verse 3, in the last days, people will not be lovers of the good. You're seeing it right there. LGBTQ is a sign of the last days. Romans chapter 1, verse 28, in the last days, God will turn people over to a reprobate mind so they will do what ought not to be done, like LGBTQ. And the stupid Klingon pronouns like Z and Zer and Zoo. What in the world is a Zer? Those people don't even know. Here's some gay activists. Listen to what they say when they're asked how many genders there really are.
You can be man, female, you could be, there's so many. A demigirl, a demi boy.
It's a stupid question.
How many are there?
I don't want to participate anymore.
I think there's really an answer to that, given that gender is kind of a social construct, so it's different for every person and also in different cultures.
Now, here's the dirty little secret. How many genders are there?
How many genders are there?
Two.
There's only two. Talk about suppressing the truth and unrighteousness. But they're still proud of it. Oh, yeah. June is still Pride Month. High Holy Month of Pride. We've got one day on our calendar to celebrate the sacrifice that our soldiers made to save this country. But we've got a whole month on our calendar to supposedly celebrate how queer people have sex. People, listen to me. You need a whole month to make yourself feel proud. You ain't really proud. But they try. See the pride flag they have this year with all the trans colors on it and the old military slogan, "These colors don't run." Folks, that's the real pride flag in America, the one right next to it. The American flag. Not just the month of June, but all year round. And you know what? Those colors don't run either. But they reload. And what did President Donald Trump do from the White House to acknowledge Pride Month this year? Absolutely nothing. It's June. That's it. And why? Because of all the damage that LGBTQ is doing, especially right now with all the delusional boys who are pretending to be girls and participating in girls' sports because of their delusional parents who sit back and let it happen. Last May the 31st, high school state track championships in Pennsylvania. 17-year-old Lucy Allen, middle picture, whose real name is Sean because he is a boy pretending to be a girl, barely beat a 14-year-old real girl by 2/100ths of a second to win the girls 200 meters state track championship with a time of 25.7. And his two mothers, that tells you the problem right there, he's got two mothers, said it would be cruel to make him compete against boys. Yeah, it'd be cruel because he'd get smoked. The boys' winning time at that track meeting in 200 meters was 21.17 seconds. Guys, if you're running a 25.7 200 meters, you better be finding a musical instrument to play. Folks, when I was in high school in 1981, if I tried to claim that I was a girl and I tried to compete against girls, I'd probably be a cold case file somewhere. Last June the 1st. California State High School Track Championships. A.B. Hernandez, who again is a boy pretending to be a girl, won the girls' state championship in the triple jump. Now, the second place winner was a real girl, 17-year-old Reese Hogan, who's a Christian. And even though she set a personal record that day and also a school record with a triple jump of 37 feet and 2 inches, that boy with an injured leg still jumped 4 feet further than she did. Where's the fairness in that? But notice what happened after the award ceremony was over. When A.B. Hernandez stepped away from the podium, the first place podium, look at what Reese Hogan did.
We got our men now taking to the stage. In lane one among North Torrance, 38-51 last week. Strong.
Touche! There's your real winner. Folks, you don't think this confusion and this fight and this absolute insanity is a sign that we're living in the last days? Signs of the last days all over that. The number one issue that Donald Trump ran on during the campaign was deporting all the illegal aliens that Joe Biden led into this country, like the Oklahoma land rush. Starting with all the illegals who had committed crimes besides illegally breaking into this country. There's not one person in this church that has any problem at all with immigration. The problem is illegal immigration, because even the Bible condemns it, like in Deuteronomy chapter 27. About 2 weeks ago, ICE agents started arresting some low-life illegals around Los Angeles, California. Murderers, rapists, child sex traffickers, the lowest of the low. But of course, when they did, all hell broke loose and all kinds of protesters started showing up. Leftists, anarchists, Antifa, BLM, pro-Palestinians with their kifas, Hamas terrorists, and people with stage 4 Trump derangement syndrome. And those protesters started attacking the police and they started attacking ICE agents. Started riots. That's what some of the riots looked like. That's happening in the United States of America.
Right at you!
Make it great like 92!
Make it great like 92!
Is he not afraid of you?
Is he not afraid of you?
Put something right out of Mad Max.
Get down! Get down!
The city of angels is going to hell. And because Los Angeles hasn't been capable of putting out fires or keeping law and order for decades now, President Donald Trump deployed 2,000 National Guard troops and 700 U.S. Marines to help keep the peace. The first time since 1965 a U.S. president called in National Guard and U.S. soldiers without a governor requesting it. And of course, the left claimed that Donald Trump violated his constitutional authority and that the National Guard and the Marines weren't even necessary because the riots weren't that bad at all, they claimed. Here's what one Los Angeles reporter had to say.
Large group of people, it could turn very volatile if you move law enforcement in there in the wrong way and turn what is just a bunch of people having fun watching cars burn into a massive confrontation and altercation between officers and demonstrators.
Yeah, they're just having fun burning cars like we all did when we were growing up. Congressman Maxine Waters said this.
Don't think that somehow, because they called out the National Guard, there was violence. There was no violence. I was on the street. I know. Get it straight. And don't just rely on what you're being told or the few incidents that you saw. There was no violence.
Talk about California dreaming. The number one characteristic of the last days is what? Deception. And you're seeing it right there. And people, somebody's going to have to explain to me, what are these people protesting for? You're beating up American cops for arresting foreign criminals who've invaded this country and committed crimes against people in this country. And the only time you see an American flag is when they're burning it. And all the people from Mexico waving Mexican flags. If Mexico is so great and America is so bad, get the heck back to Mexico. What are you doing here? You are burning the flag of the country that you want to stay in while you're waving the country of the flag that you don't want to get deported back to. Somebody tell me, what is wrong with this picture? And here's just some of the groups that are sponsoring these riots in Los Angeles. Open Society, which is George Soros. The Party for Socialism and Liberation, even though socialism never gives anybody liberation. The International Service Workers Union, SEIU, BLM, the LA Teachers Union. I could go on and on. And obviously, a lot of the protesters are paid agitators because somebody's bankrolling this whole thing. See the pallets of concrete blocks that are always strategically placed ahead of time in parts of the city where the next riot is going to take place? See the two women in the back of the pickup truck passing out boxes of helmets? And what's called bionic face shields that the rioters wear to protect them from the rubber bullets that the cops shoot at them. Those things aren't free. They're about $60 a piece. And there's thousands of them. All the rioters wearing brand new backpacks that have brand new hammers in them, along with a concrete block so they can bust up the concrete block and use it to chuck it at the cops. People, what in the world is going on? And funny thing. Don't these riots look a lot like the riots that happened 8 years ago over George Floyd? Let's see. Riots during Donald Trump's first term in office. Now there's riots during Donald Trump's second term in office. And remember October 14, 2023, when Chinese communist dictator Xi Jinping flew to San Francisco to meet exclusively with California Governor Gavin Newsom and nobody else? And then 11 days later, when California Governor Gavin Newsom flew to Beijing to meet with Chinese dictator Xi Jinping and nobody else. I wonder what they were talking about. Especially after we found out this past week the number one sponsor of those riots in Los Angeles is a group called CHRLA, the Coalition for Humane Immigrant Rights in Los Angeles. And CHRLA is totally funded by who? That would be the Chinese Communist Party. So many leftists have already turned so many chunks of this country over to the Chinese Communist Party. What better way to turn the state of California over by turning it first into a totalitarian police state? And the riots now and the fires in Los Angeles earlier this year that California Governor Gavin Newsom did everything he possibly could not to put out so he could tell California into a series of 15-minute cities. I could go on and on and on. But folks, do you know what's really going on in California? Do you know what you're really seeing there in Los Angeles, California with those riots? These really are the last days. Matthew chapter 24, verse 12, Jesus said, in the last days, lawlessness will increase. No God, no authority, no moral ground, no right or wrong, no accountability. What we're seeing right there in Los Angeles, California is just a taste. It's just a little bitty taste. It's just a little preview of what the Bible says the whole world is going to be like during the Great Tribulation under the Antichrist. So the question is this morning, during the time of the Great Tribulation, do you want to spend that time down here on earth with the Antichrist, or do you want to spend that time up there in heaven with Jesus Christ? Only two possibilities. Choose wisely, because all the signs are there. The second reason why we know we're living in the last days is because the signs say so. We go on in this text, we see a third thing. A third reason why we know we're living in the last days. Not only because the scriptures say it, not only because the signs say it, but third, because the spirit of Antichrist says it. And that's also what we see here in verse 18. And in case anybody doesn't know, the Antichrist isn't just a movie like The Omen or Rosemary's Baby. The Antichrist is not President Donald Trump. The Antichrist is not quarterback Aaron Rodgers because he's playing for the Pittsburgh Steelers now. The Antichrist is Mr. Fix-It. He's the man with the plan who's going to show up right at the beginning of the Great Tribulation and solve all the world's problems and make all the trains run on time. And people will fall at his feet like he's a rock star, and the entire world will worship him. But the Bible tells us he's going to be possessed by the devil. And because of that, he will lead the entire world in rebellion against God. Because the devil's agenda has never changed since he was an angel in heaven. Isaiah chapter 14, verse 14, I will become like the Lord. But notice verse 18, John says that Antichrists have already come into the world. And why is that? Because the Antichrist is not just a demonic person. The Antichrist is also a demonic spirit that possesses different persons. So every generation has had somebody who is evil, who is like the Antichrist, as a preview and as a reminder that one day in the last days, the real McCoy really is coming. Pharaoh, who tried to kill all the Israelite babies in Egypt. Haman, King Herod. Paul's day, it was Roman Emperor Nero. In John's day, it was Roman Emperor Domitian persecuting Christians. Adolf Hitler had the spirit of Antichrist. Adolf Hitler was possessed by the devil. When he served in the German military in his teens, Adolf Hitler's military number was 555. The Antichrist number is 666. Then it was Lenin and Stalin and Chairman Mao that murdered almost 100 million people between the three of them. The Antichrist now looks like Emmanuel Macron of France. 1 John chapter 4, verse 3 says the spirit of Antichrist is already in the world. And people, it is. It's so thick you could cut it with a knife, and you see it everywhere. Amen. Antichrist today is anybody who uses the platform that they have to strike out against everything that's godly and holy. We see those people everywhere. Illinois State Legislature Kelly Cassidy, who's a radical lesbian. Any anti-God, anti-family bill that comes out of Springfield, Illinois, you can bet the farm that Kelly Cassidy has her hands on it somehow. Here's what she had to say on the floor of the Illinois State Legislature last May the 31st.
You have blood on your hands.
She's talking to Christian
the
conservatives.
The blood of these children is on your hands. You are driving children to suicide. Imagine your Examine yourselves. Examine your humanity. You have blood on your hands. You can't erase those words.
See, if you don't use the stupid pronouns, if you don't call kids genderqueer unicorns, you've got blood on your hands because you're supposedly murdering trans kids. My God, how much blood does Kelly Cassidy have on her hands? Letting Dr. Frankenstein's mutilate little kids' bodies and turning the state of Illinois into the killing fields and the abortion capital of the United States. 6 million dead aborted babies in the state of Illinois in just the last 10 years. Spirit of Antichrist. Last Thursday, Governor J.B. Pritzker was grilled on Congress, and he was asked about a tweet that he sent out telling all men to use women's bathrooms to stick it to Donald Trump. Well, you wouldn't be sticking it to Donald Trump because Donald Trump lives in the White House and he's got his own bathroom. Who did she be sticking it to is innocent Americans who are suffering from the free-range chicken, the illegal immigration policies like J.B. Pritzker has here in the state of Illinois. Like little 9-year-old Hannah DePontis, who was strangled and raped and murdered in a women's bathroom in a restaurant in Riverside, California by an illegal pedophile who pretended to be a woman so he could get inside that woman's bathroom. This is part of what J.B. Pritzker had to say last Thursday.
And as a protest against President Trump, everyone should use the other gender's bathroom today. Have you ever used the women's restroom?
Not that I can recall ever, sir,
you
just, no.
You wanted everybody else to do it, but you didn't.
I'm
asking you, have you ever considered that women don't want you in their bathrooms? that's a private space that they don't want you or any other man in.
They want people.
And you're
to
encouraging
die
men to
in
use
the United
women's
States
restrooms where there could be underage girls. Do you think that's appropriate?
Absolutely despicable. Spirit of Antichrist. We see the spirit of Antichrist all over the world today. Last month, President Donald Trump went to the Middle East, to Saudi Arabia and Qatar, United Arab Emirates, and got trillions of dollars of contracts for American corporations, showing everybody that the focus of the world is now shifting. It's no longer in the West. It's no longer Europe. Now its focus is shifting to the Middle East, just exactly like the Bible says would happen in the last days. And of course, right on cue after that, the spirit of Antichrist and all the deceiving spirits started to focus all the players, all the major players in that part of the Middle East for war. Just exactly like the Bible says in Revelation chapter 16 is going to happen in the last days. Last week, President Donald Trump called all U.S. non-military personnel to get out of the Middle East. Last Thursday, Israel started bombing Iran so Iran couldn't get nuclear missiles. And now Iran is bombing them back. And Iran has a military pact signed with both Russia and China, so whether they're going to retaliate or not, I don't know. And I'm already getting phone calls. People ask me, Kevin, are we going to have the Battle of Gog and Magog and the Battle of Armageddon all in the same week? Kevin, should we be going to Costco and stockpiling toilet paper? Folks, there's one of the biggest signs of the last day of all. Los Angeles is burning. Middle East is on fire. Yesterday, there were thousands and thousands of demonstrations and protests all across the United States. The Bilderberg Group is having their annual meeting this weekend. Yesterday, Donald Trump held the biggest military parade in the history of this country. This coming Tuesday, Emmanuel Macron and Mohammed bin Salman are going to show up at the United Nations and try to force the creation of a Palestinian state. Our cup runneth over, people. So many end time signs, we can't even keep up with them anymore. Spirit of Antichrist. We see the spirit of Antichrist and all the evil in the world today. Jesus said, Matthew chapter 24, verse 12, in the last days, evil will increase. Last June the 1st, Pearl Hill Park, Boulder, Colorado, a bunch of 60 and 70 and 80-year-old Jewish and Christian women were protesting against Hamas for the release of the 21 Jewish hostages that Hamas is still holding on to. When all of a sudden a 49-year-old illegal alien from Pakistan named Muhammad Salman used a homemade flamethrower, people, to torch 8 of those women and seriously injure them. One of them, an 88-year-old Holocaust survivor. My God, you talk about evil. And while he was attacking them and torching, he was screaming, free Palestine, free Palestine. The cry of that death cult that now wants to murder all 6 million Jews in the nation of Israel. And after it was over, in the United States House of Representatives, 133 Democrats voted no on a simple bill that would have condemned what that man did as a terrorist act. They hate this country, they hate the Jews, they hate President Trump, and they are so beholden to the terrorists, they will not call evil for what it really is. You talk about morally bankrupt. And the entire world, turning against Israel and the Jewish people, just exactly like the Bible says is going to happen in the last days, Zechariah chapter 12, verse 2. Spirit of Antichrist. We see the spirit of Antichrist in what's going on with Donald Trump right now. Because the question is, why is Donald Trump seem to be doing so many things that's helping the cause of the Antichrist? Very first day in office, Donald Trump announced that the United States was going to be the global headquarters for Bitcoin, digital currency that the Antichrist is going to use in his one world government, one world economic mark of the beast system. So you're not going to be able to buy or sell anything if your money is not in digital currency that the Antichrist can control over the computer by pushing a button. Then January the 21st, he announced the creation of Stargate, a $500 billion investment in artificial intelligence. And the very first thing they're going to use it for is what? To create an mRNA clot shot. Clot shots that have already killed over 17 million people and continue to cause people to drop like flies because of all the turbo cancers that they're calling. You're spending $500 billion on artificial intelligence that's ultimately controlled by the prince of the power of the air, and the first thing you're going to use it for is to make mRNA clot shots. You talk about a match made in hell. Donald Trump, what in the world are you doing? And it gets even worse. One of the biggest tech donors for Donald Trump during his campaign was a guy named Peter Thiel, CEO of Palantir Corporation, the biggest data mining company in the entire world. Donald Trump even took Peter Thiel to the Middle East with him last month. And right now, Donald Trump is using Peter Thiel and that company to create a national database file on every single person in this country. Supposedly to help root out all the cheats and all the frauds for the sake of Doge. But folks, every single one of us knows a national database file is one step away from digital ID. And once Big Brother gets digital ID in us, it's game over. What in the world is Donald Trump doing? Now, before anybody has a cow, I don't believe with anything in me that Donald Trump is the Antichrist, or that he's a globalist, or that he wants to sell out this country. Donald Trump said at the inauguration, he is a man on a mission from God, that God saved his life two different times so he can make America great again and save the free world. And I believe with all my heart that Donald Trump is working like a coal mine mule to try to accomplish both of those things. But as big as Donald Trump is, he's up against something that's even bigger than he is. And that's the New World Order and the deep state that is absolutely dedicated to destroying this country and turning it over to the Antichrist in the Great Tribulation. And how do I know that? I go all the way back to Republican National Convention last July of 2024 in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. Do you remember the design? Do you remember the pictures that were on the backdrop when Donald Trump gave his speech? The occult all-seeing eye of Horus with the pyramid underneath, the same design that's on the back of our dollar bill, and the Latin words underneath that said Novo Ordo Seclorum, that literally mean what? New World Order. Behind Donald Trump as he was speaking. And what was the very first thing? The very first thing that Elon Musk tweeted out the night of November 5th, the nanosecond that it was known that Donald Trump was going to be the next president of the United States, what did Elon Musk tweet out on X? The very first thing, Novo Ordo Seclorum, New World Order. New World Order that is still entrenched in this country, still entrenched in Washington, D.C., still entrenched in major parts of the Republican Party. Does Donald Trump have any idea why God really put him in office the second time? Does Donald Trump have any idea how big this fight really is that he's involved in, the spiritual warfare that is really going on for him and for this country? And people, the evil. And the judgment that this nation deserves. for 70 million, 70 million dead babies since 1973. That's more than the population of the 28 smallest states of this nation combined. 70 million. And a presidential candidate said last fall that in order to win the election, we got to murder even more. 70 million. And Joel chapter 3 tells us that God has not even started, hasn't even started avenging that yet. 70 million. My God, people, I stand up here this morning and I've got to tell you, I don't know if a nation can ever recover from that. Ever. People, listen. You better be praying for President Donald John Trump, and you better be praying for this country like you have never prayed before in your life. Because Isaiah chapter 28 verse 22 says the last days are God's strange time, when God does strange things that we can't understand yet. Like what's all going on with the Antichrist and what's really going on with Donald Trump right now and the pressures that he's facing and the opposition that he's facing. But I do know this. He who endures to the end will be saved. And when the great tribulation starts, and it will, and when the Antichrist comes, and when the mark of the beast system kicks in, Christians, the good news is we won't even be here. Because any second now, just like that, in a flash, in the twinkling of an eye, Jesus is coming to take us home. But only if you're trusting Him as Savior and Lord. Because if you're not, you're not being raptured. You're not going to heaven. You're staying down here. And you will go through the hell of the great tribulation. And you will face the Antichrist. A time of trouble, Jesus said, the likes of which the world has never seen before and will never see again. Plagues and corruption and natural disasters and pandemics and riots like you would not believe. A time of trouble, Jesus said, that it's going to be so bad people will want to die and won't be able to. But the good news is 2,000 years ago, God already did something in His love and His mercy and grace to make sure you wouldn't have to go through that. 2,000 years ago, God put His only Son, Jesus Christ, on a cross to pay the price for your sin. And then God raised Him from the dead to prove that it was all true. So today, if you make that decision, if you confess your sin to God and you put your faith in the blood that Jesus shed on the cross to take your sins away, and you ask Jesus Christ to come into your heart and to be your Savior, you will be saved and you will be taken in the rapture. You won't be left down here. And if you haven't made that decision, you need to make it today. You need to make it right now. Because the end of all things is coming like an ongoing train. You say, well, Kevin, can I get saved after the rapture? Can I get saved during the great tribulation? You can, but you won't. Because you get saved after the rapture, the Antichrist will kill you for it. So let me ask you this morning. If you can't get saved on a bright, sunny summer day in this little country church, when it's not going to cost you anything, why in the world do you think you're going to get saved when it's going to cost you everything? It's cost you your life. You won't. And you will spend the rest of eternity with one thought haunting your mind. I wished I would have been ready. I wished I'd been ready. All those altar calls that dumpy little pastor, Kevin Garner, gave at Fox River Church that I blew off. I wish I had one time, just one time, I would have responded and gotten up out of my seat and come to the front of this church. I wish I would have prayed. I wish I would have prayed to receive Christ when I had the chance. I wish I'd been ready. We wish they'd all been ready.
You can stay seated for this, please.
disappears and one left standing still. I wish we'd all been ready. There's no time to change your mind. The sun has come and you've been left behind. Life was filled with guns and war, and everyone got trampled on the floor. I wish we'd all been ready. Children died a day too cold. A piece of bread could buy a bag of gold. I wish we'd all been ready. There's no time to change your mind. How could you have been so blind? The Father spoke, the demons died. The Son has come and you've been left behind. You've been left behind.
The Bible says in Matthew chapter 24, verse 42, watch therefore, for you do not know the hour your Lord is coming. I want you to know, church, that Jesus Christ could come this month, or he might come next week, or he could even come.
Behind. John says this is the last hour of the last day. There's somebody listening to this sermon right now. This is your last hour too, the last hour of your last day, because this is the last chance you're ever going to get. Today, if you don't know Jesus as your Savior, the nanosecond this service is over, get out of your seat, come to the front of this church and pray with somebody to receive Jesus as your Savior. Pray for this every single week. I give altar calls almost every single week because one of these days, what you saw on the screen is going to happen. Time is going to be gone. All the chances are going to be gone. Today, you have another chance. Today, if you're not saved, you come forward. You pray to receive Christ. Get saved. Know where you stand with Jesus in these last days.
You might want to stand for this one.
These are the days of Elijah, declaring the word of the Lord. These are the days of your servant Moses, righteousness being restored. Those are the days of great trials, of famine and darkness and sorrow. Through your hosts in the
child becoming as flesh. And these are God like Jehovah, the holy God, riding on the clouds,
shining like the sun
at the trumpet call.
Most of the people in this room right now are Christians. I'm looking for one person today, one person who wants to be ready. I don't want you to go through eternity with that thought in your mind. I wished I'd have been ready. I wish one of those Sundays, just one of those Sundays, when that invitation was given, I would have gotten out of my seat and come to the front of that church and prayed that simple prayer. If that's you today, I will meet you here just a few seconds after this service is over with. We have a praise report while we were praying for little Lainey halfway to the hospital. Her pain totally disappeared. So praise God for that at the hospital. And again, I need to see somebody from the Wilsons, the Teamies, the Southcombs, and the Terrell family up here after church is over. If you've got any need whatsoever, please come. We'll pray over you. We believe in laying on of hands, anointing with oil. God will do wonderful things. Go in peace.